knocking around your Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christian faith teaches us that on this day, a child was born so that we might have eternal life.
From the moment of conception, you've got a human being, and that human being deserves legal protection. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist in the United States at the present time, and this is just damnable.
There's a kind of a Mary and a Martha story happening with us. And Advent puts us where Jesus says the good part is.
Glass and cloth, wood and stone will cry out to the next generation. This is what we have believed. This is Christ, our Savior, and yours.
Moms in Ohio love issues, etc.
Mom! Mom! Mom!
We hear the sentiment a lot. We hear that death came like a friend. Or it was a merciful death. And I understand, I completely understand what people are trying to say there. What they are saying, in fact, might not be the comfort that they think it is. If it is any kind of comfort, hollow comfort indeed. How are Christians to regard death? I distinctly remember as a child hearing a sermon, one of the few sermons that I remember hearing as a child from the pastor that baptized me and confirmed me and married me. And he said, and I had a difficult time understanding it at the time, probably because I was young and did not take death seriously. He said, death is never your friend. Never. Christians cannot regard death as a friend. Death is a foe. Now, what did he mean? And why is that very important, especially in a time when the country continues, less than a week after the tragedy in Connecticut, to mourn tragic death? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon. It's 19th of December. Dr. James Lamb will be with us to talk about living and dying here in the first half hour or so. Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us after that. You might have seen the news that the Dead Sea Scrolls are finally online. That means anybody can actually go online to the museum in Jerusalem and actually look with your own eyes in great detail at the Dead Sea Scrolls in all of their, well, length and fragmentation. We'll find out a little bit more about the Dead Sea Scrolls, where they came from, how they were discovered, and what this means for biblical scholarship with Dr. Andrew Steinman. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., George Conger joins us from GetReligion.org. We'll talk about media coverage of Germany's circumcision laws and a Great Britain paper, The Guardian, reporting on a faith statement made by South Carolina's new senator, Tim Scott. Dr. Dean Wenthe joins us after that because today the church is remembering the oldest of the Old Testament saints, Adam and Eve, on this day, December the 19th. We'll do that in the last part of Issues, Etc. Join us by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @IssuesETC. Dr. James Lamb is a regular guest, and he's Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa. Dr. Lamb, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
I know that you wrote these two articles in the latest LifeDate newsletter on living and dying well before last week's tragic events in Connecticut. But how is it that those events make us especially mindful of the truth that death is not our friend?
Well, those horrible events are really a picture of what death is, and death is something that is foreign to what God intended. Death is a result of sin and evil in this world. Death breaks in and takes life, and God never intended that. And that's what we saw pictured there, you know, headlines like God called them home or talking about God's will and all this. That's nonsense because this isn't God's will. God never intended for death at all for anybody in his world. So death is not and never can be our friend. And I think that was pictured in the tragic events on this past Friday.
Why is it that we so often hear that sentiment, though, in one form or another, death came as a friend, or it was kind of like a peaceful release, those kinds of things, that depicts death as kind of an ally, the natural and sometimes merciful end of a life?
Well, two ways to look at that. One is simply in our secular society, people look at death as, you know, the compassionate relief of suffering. That was Jack Kevorkian's, one of his favorite lines, and that, you know, it's better to die than to suffer, and we have groups like Compassion in Dying, and so they all look at death as a way to end suffering. But Christians also can fall prey to that kind of thinking, because we understand that there is something after death. There is eternal life, and there is resurrection. So it's easy for us to kind of hook that into this idea that death is our friend. You know, why? What's wrong with sending grandma to be with Jesus kind of attitude? But see, that's false and dangerous thinking, because it aligns us with this view, this worldview out there, that we can therefore hasten death. You know, the statement, what's wrong with sending grandma to be with Jesus? What's wrong with that statement is the sending part. We're not in charge of when God calls grandma to be with him. That's one thing, but we are not to view death as a friend to help grandma be there. And Scripture views it just the opposite. Death is not our friend, can never be our friend. It is our enemy.
So take us through some of that scriptural material where we can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that death is not friend but foe.
Well, in 1 Corinthians 15:26, there Paul talks about the last enemy to be defeated is death. And so death is very, very clearly stated there as our enemy. Paul talks about death is the wages of our sin. And in Genesis 2 and 3, and we see that death comes into the world as a result of sin. In the day you eat of it, you will die, God told Adam and Eve. And Paul, back in Romans 1, tells us that what death does is it reveals the wrath of God against all unrighteousness. And Luther has this quote that I use often when I speak on this. He says, Christians, however, and God-fearing men know that their death, together with all the other miseries of this life, is to be equated with God's wrath. And so, you know, you talked about remembering a sermon that your pastor gave. I remember my dad's funeral sermon. My dad died quite young. He was 53. And I remember our pastor, he's a big guy, and he just leaned over the pulpit, and he began his sermon by saying, did you take a good long look into that casket? That could be you lying in there, because dad's death was, you know, so very sudden. And he pointed out that it's an enemy. This is not right. This is not good. This is an enemy that has happened here. So Luther would say every time we experience death, see death, see someone die, we should be reminded not as death as a friend, but that it's our enemy and it's what we deserve because of God's wrath.
So how do we reconcile that with, and I'm thinking here of St. Paul in his famous Philippians passage, where he expresses to them a desire to depart and be with the Lord, but he says, for your sake, it's better that I stay. And then he says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Is he denying that death is, in fact, an enemy?
No, he isn't. Paul talks about that death is a gain, and the reason death is a gain for us as Christians is because in Christ, you see, it's a defeated enemy. And that's where we forget to make the connection between those two. You know, in Philippians 1:23, Paul says even that he desires to depart and be with Christ, because that would be better by far. And that's okay. So we can join Paul in that kind of thinking. We can even pray that kind of prayer for a Christian who's maybe desperately ill, and we can say, you know, come, Lord Jesus, you know, take them. But we forget to read the next verse. In verse 24, Paul says, but it is more necessary for me to remain in the flesh. And we need to remember that the more necessary part in all of this, that's God's call. And Paul says God has fruitful labor left for him yet to do. So he's entrusting the more necessary to God. So yes, it's a gain for us to depart and to be with Christ, but not to make that choice of when that is to happen. And it's a gain because of what Christ has done to defeat this enemy.
I mentioned early on what I had heard from a sermon, remembering it from my childhood, my pastor saying, death is never a friend. It's always a foe. And you said this just a moment ago, with a minute or so before we take our break. It must not just be foe, defeated foe. Why is that so important?
Well, that's understanding then how we can view death properly. And we view death properly through the cross of Jesus Christ and through his empty tomb. Those assure us, Paul says, that Christ has defeated this final enemy, death, for us, and that he then gives us that victory. And that's what we place our hope in, not in death, but in Christ's victory over death.
Okay, so I think I see the difference there. You just said it. We hope we place our victory not in death, but against death, in Christ over death.
Yes, in his victory.
Dr. James,
it's not death that carries us into eternity. It's Christ's victory over death that carries us into eternity.
I want to talk more about that on the other side of the break. We've got a few more minutes with Dr. James Lamb. We're talking about living and dying on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 19th. See, that's important. Then we can understand why a Christian may desire to depart and be with Christ, but he doesn't desire death. He desires life in Jesus Christ over death. We'll talk about that after this.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the Church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the communion of saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's C-L-A-M-A-V-I.com.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc. This lovely Christmas hymn comes from a 2-CD set titled Lutheran Service Book Hymns and Services. We'll send you this resource of 26 hymns for any sized year-end donation to Issues, Etc. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and mail it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support at the end of 2012.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about living and dying. Dr. James Lamb is our guest, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa. Dr. Lamb, before the break, it really came clear for me what you were trying to say, that the Christian hopes not for death, but for life through death, that victory over death in Jesus Christ. Is that why Christians can, on this side, as we mourn the death of those we love, we can, as you say, live with dying?
Yes, that's exactly it, because the reason we're able to live with dying, and that has lots of implications in that phrase. You know, we live in a sinful world. We live with physical dying. We live with those that we love who are dying. But the reason we're able to do that is because we are living in the victory that Christ has won for us through his cross and his empty tomb. And so another Luther quote here, you know, Luther says that then death for the Christian becomes the narrow gate to life, and that's what we seek because that's what Christ has won for us.
Dr. Lamb, Life Sunday is coming up next month in January of 2013. What is it, and what kind of resources does Lutherans for Life have for this annual event? About a minute here.
Okay, Life Sunday is a Sunday set aside, usually the third Sunday in January, to remember the Supreme Court decision, Roe v. Wade, the 40th anniversary of that decision this January. And so many congregations will focus on some aspect of the life issues, and Lutherans for Life always produces materials that address one or more of those, and this year we are addressing what we've been discussing, and that is living with dying, and that is our theme for our Life Sunday materials. So we provide a bulletin insert with that theme on it, and on the back some of the very things that we've been discussing here. And then we provide sample sermons for pastors to use, bulletin inserts for kids, Bible studies, DVDs, children's messages, worship format, all these kinds of materials. Plus, we have many brochures that relate to end-of-life issues, things like feeding tubes and ventilators and advanced directives. So all of these resources are available, and a congregation could pick and choose and use these resources and put together a really powerful focus based on the Word of God, based in the victory of Jesus Christ, to help us have a better understanding of what it means for a Christian to live with dying.
Folks, you'll find a link to Life Sunday resources under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa. Dr. Lamb, thank you very much.
You are welcome.